We're live at Titans training camp today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, who is in the house today, as he will be all week, because D-Mace is being the world traveler. Willie's being the world traveler. And so we're here. We're at football practice.
This is I have not been out here in a little while, so it's good to be back. They've done a lot of work out here with construction-wise, so this is great, man. You always love to hear the whistle and everything going on. So, Chase, thanks for having me out here, buddy.
Hey, it's good to have you. So, we were talking about this earlier. 2019 was probably the last time you were out here?
Yeah, I covered everyone since 97, since you were at TSU, and different roles in my career. And then 2019 was when I was last time I was out here. And then, of course, the COVID year of 2020, and then last year what went on. And so that's going to be back out here again. There's been some really good changes. This looks nice out here now.
Yeah. Oh, they've made it, as Derek put it, they made it look like an NFL facility. So I think they've done a really nice job.
That one in Bellevue was pretty nice. That was good because you could go to practice and then go over to Dollar Tree and get some shopping done in between the two-a-day sessions.
You could go to Piscetti's and get some food,
You could, yeah. That place over there was, oh, man. So to see this and see where they were when they first got here is quite remarkable. It only took them 20-something years, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they've done it. Amy Adams-Strunk's done a nice job with it. So practice is underway. We hope to be joined by Roger McCreary, Titans rookie cornerback, after practice. When they're done today, they'll come over here. This is the last practice before the Bucs get to town, and they'll have joint practices with Tampa Bay Wednesday and Thursday. No Tom Brady for Tampa Bay, as he is taking some personal leave that he worked out with the Bucs before he came out of retirement. So something going on there. He will not be here, and he'll rejoin the team after the preseason game Saturday against the Titans.
Disappointed a little bit because you can come out here and see him at Brady. You know, we talk about when he was out here 2019 with the Patriots, how he just carved up the Titans secondary that day. And we were talking to David Beauclair the other day on the show. That same time when Brady is carving up the Titans secondary, he's also, after every play, would bring the receiver over and coach him up. And
yeah,
it was just remarkable seeing him. You think, well, that's Tom Brady. But you know what? The work he put in that day, Brady did, just watching him work through practice, you understand why that guy is the best NFL quarterback of all time. I mean, it was uncanny, Chase, watching him out here, not just physically playing, but the way he did when the play was going and coaching his receivers. It was really cool. So, you know, it's, some people are disappointed to be out here. I understand that. But then this is a critical week. You know, this is two practices against the Buccaneers that some good work you'll get in that you would not get in otherwise if you played in a preseason game.
So they will face their former backup, big game Blaine Gabbert will be the
that guy's still on the team?
He is the starting quarterback for Tampa Bay. That year you were talking about when they had the joint practice with the Patriots, is that when our buddy Justin Beasley got yelled at by Brady?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got yelled. I mean, because after practice, Brady's just kind of hanging out with Vrabel in the middle of the field, and we were allowed then to go on the field, and then Brady said, hey, man, back up. Of course, he had to look at the ground because Justin's about 3 feet tall and had to move him out of the way. But that's what they – I mean, they didn't tell us any difference, so it was just a big mob.
Justin was right there. He was, like, in the huddle.
Yeah, he was.
It was the funniest.
My favorite part of that day was he played at Columbia High School with Shaq Mason. I think he's now with the Bucks. He was up here doing practice, and it was awesome. His one member of his family was handing me his mixtape. He's like, hey, man, here's my mixtape. I want you to listen to it after practice. I'm like, oh, yeah, awesome. So it was good to see Shaq Mason then, and he'll be back here Wednesday. But it was, it's a little disappointing Brady won't be up here just to watch him and see how he goes through everything during a practice.
Yeah, and because I think, as we've talked about, these next 2 weeks are going to be very beneficial for the Titans practice-wise, because you're going up against another team. Preseason, the main guys are still not going to play. I don't think Tannehill's going to play. We already know that Derrick Henry's not going to play. But these practices where they're facing another defense or facing another offense, I think are going to be beneficial. And this is where you're really going to see some of these position battles. The gap is going to close.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got Wednesday, Thursday, and then you'll see a little bit during the preseason game on Saturday. But then next week, the Cardinals rolling here. You'll see the same thing. Watch you guys practice and get some good work done. It's just different vibe when a team comes in these practices. So much more one-on-one work as the coaches can evaluate what's going on. And I think, Chasers, we see move on next year and year after that. I think we see more joint practices I know we got two this year. I think you might see three, even more than that, because, look, you got to face these preseason games. We're not seeing much from anybody in those things. But here in the joint practice, we'll see Tannehill. I'm not sure how much Derrick Henry run, but we'll see Tannehill in the 7-on-7 and the 1-on-1 drills, and that would be good work for him. Otherwise, he would not get in a preseason game.
Well, I think – so I made this joke to somebody the other day. I think you'll see Derrick Henry, but he's going to have the red jersey on too. And Vrabel's preference will be you can hit Tannehill, but you can't hit Henry. That's how I have felt. They put bubble wrap on Derrick Henry and, like, don't touch him. Like, there was a play the other day where somebody fell on him, and I thought they were going to get cut.
Oh yes. face it. You know, that's the thing. All right, last year they came out against the Cardinals that first game, and they were awful. Just awful. And the thing was, well, it was because they didn't play in the preseason. They didn't, you know. But look at what's going on right now in front of us. I mean, there's 11-on-11. I mean, they're together. The units are together. That was just a Cardinal team that came here on fire that first game. So don't look at it if they lose the first game like, all right, because they didn't play any preseason games. That's just all hogwash, man.
Well, so to your point on that, I think it's interesting, you know, the Colts played their starters, or some of them. Matt Ryan did start. Zach Wilson started for the Jets, and now he's got a torn MCL, so he's going to miss some time. So there's always that argument of, okay, do you want them to get the extra work in and risk injury, or do you play it super safe, which I think Vrabel is doing and a lot of coaches do, and you just don't play them at all or very, very little in the preseason,
right?
And you risk not having chemistry and all that. Because it was very clear in the first game last year against Arizona, this team was off. They weren't on the same page. They were off kilter when it came to the chemistry. They got there, but, you know, Julio Jones was never on the same page with Ryan Tannehill.
Not the whole year.
And so that ultimately led to his dismissal. But
you look also in that game. I mean, there were, like, LaJuan was horrible. I mean, he was horrible.
He's coming off the ACL.
Yeah, so it wasn't that the team played off. There was certain spots and players that played terrible that day. And then, so you look at it, if they could just kind of learn from last year and go forward with that, wouldn't be that of a big deal. But we'll see what happens. All right, my man. But you'll get the good work in the next 2 weeks. And, you know, that Giants game will be hot September 11th, an afternoon game. So we'll see what happens there. But you're right. I mean, I'm watching Derrick Henry run sprints over there. I mean, he doesn't need to be out there right now. These guys know. But to your point, the Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, gets injured in the game. I mean, he's out for a while. I mean, so the
Jets. And people thought it could have been an ACL.
Yeah, so the Jets are like, what? So now they're reeling this week. They're reeling. They got a new quarterback in there. I mean, it's not good right now because of all that. So we'll I just think it's good. Vrabel's got an approach to it, and I think that he's learned from Bill Cowher. He learned from Belichick when he played for them. And, you know, and he's learned as a head coach, you know, what to do, what not to do. I think last year was just one of those things where that first game where they just came out and were flat. And, that had to drive him crazy too.
No doubt. No doubt about that. So do you feel that with these joint practices coming up this week and next, that some of these position battles, and I'm going to say specifically right tackle, could be decided? Dylan Raiens did not look very good against the Ravens. In fact, Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, who joined Stillman & Company on Friday, he had some very strong words for Dylan Raiens. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, the bad North Dakota State, the Bison, they weren't well represented yesterday by Dylan Raiens. He started the game at right tackle and basically got tossed around. I mean, on the opening series for the Titans on third down, they left Raiens on an island on the right side. He had a pass rusher coming in from lined up very wide. There was no tight end out there. There was no help. And this happens often in preseason games where coaches will leave players on an island, whether it's a pass blocker or a corner on a wide receiver or a linebacker having to cover a running back in coverage. They'll leave him on an island to see what they can do. So Raiden's first opportunity, he took his set on that guy all by himself on a big old island, and the pass rusher gave him a club with his inside arm and bent Raiden's over sideways away from the line of scrimmage. I mean, just about tossed him onto his ear. I'm surprised Raiden didn't go down. That's where Corey Levin, I think it was Levin, bailed him out, right? But that wasn't good. That's one play. But there were so many other plays where Raiden's actually got his man blocked from the standpoint of the guy didn't get to the quarterback. But it looked incredibly crazy. Raiden's arms and legs just spread every which way. He wasn't punching. He was catching. So he was the punching bag. He wasn't turning the defender into the punching bag. There was nothing to fear if you're a pass rusher when you rush Raiden's, because he's not going to harm you.
There you go. Trevor Maddich not holding anything back.
God, he just
on Dylan Raiden's.
He just described me getting out of bed every morning. Goodness. That was terrible. Boy, that was a way to look at it. I'll be honest, I didn't watch Raiden's that much. I'm glad Maddich did. But, look, as I said the other day, Robinson, they want Raiden's to clearly define himself as the right tackle. I mean, that was their number two pick. They want to show that, hey, we know what we're doing. This guy's in. He's plugged. He's good to go. I don't know, man. I mean, I've heard nothing but negative about him.
Yeah. I don't want to say second-round pick in his second year and use the B word yet, but it does kind of feel like that right now.
Banjo?
Banjo bust is what I was going with. But if Nicholas Petit-Frere, who's a third-round pick rookie, beats him out, and I know a lot of people are saying that the starting right tackle might not be on the team yet, that they may pick somebody up, you know, after cuts, which is very possible.
Right. That's a good point.
I do think that Petit-Frere is much further along in his rookie year than Raiden's is in his second year.
Well, you know, Raiden's set out, what, 2020? He didn't play at all. And so, I mean, you know, and I'm not one of these competition guys. Look who he played at North Dakota State compared to who Petit-Frere played at Ohio State, because a lot of the best players in the NFL came from small schools. So I don't get that. It's whether you can play the game or not at this high level. And they want him. I mean, they don't want this. But here's the deal. If I'm the Giants and they don't get another right tackle, right, the Titans don't, if it's Petit-Frere or Raiden's and they're still unsure, that first game, I load up that side, man, and I go right at that guy. I mean, I go right at him, and that's the weakness on the offensive line to see what happens. But, you know, maybe Petit-Frere will get the opportunity to start this week against Tampa Bay Saturday night, and he could prove himself. I'm obviously they like him. He's listed at co-number one at right tackle, can define himself there as that position, and then they're set and they're good to go.
Coming up next is we're live from training camp today, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. There's something that I saw over the weekend that I like, and it wasn't by the Titans. I'll tell you what that is. Big Joe Dubin in today. Chase McCabe live at Titans training camp, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Yes.
Back here at Titans training camp, Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 the game, Chase McCabe, and Big Joe Dubin, who is in today for Derek and Willie. All right, so I want you to tell me if I'm making a big deal out of something. I'm not really making a big deal about it. It's just something that I notice.
Sure.
All right, so the game Thursday against Baltimore, a lot of the starters that weren't going to play just stayed back in Nashville.
Sure.
They didn't go with the team.
All right.
And I know that was Mike Vrabel's plan. That's the team's plan. That's fine. I went to a game over the weekend. I was in Denver.
Okay.
And I went to the Broncos-Cowboys preseason game. And because you guys know I love the Cowboys.
You do love the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott did not play. A lot of their starters did not play. Russell Wilson did not play. But you know what I saw during that game?
Ooh, hold on. Let me kind of guess.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
Yes.
I
he
like
was on
it.
The sideline.
I had the and same.
He, he was patrolling the sideline. A lot of times he would be next to Mike McCarthy. He'd be with the quarterbacks. He was coaching up Cooper Rush, who started the game. And again, I know that's probably not a big deal, but to me, it's there. It's something to talk about, and I just think it's such a good look to see a guy that doesn't have to be there. And Russell was the same thing. Russell didn't have to be there, even though they were home.
Right.
He didn't have to be there.
Well, here's the point with that. It's a great point. It says a lot without saying nothing. You know, I would have loved to see Tannehill. I mean, you're the leader of the team, right? You're the quarterback. You know, and don't tell me, like, they don't want to pay for his hotel room. I mean, they got $50 billion. The Titans NFL, they can pay for hotel rooms. So don't give me that garbage. I would love to see. I'm with you, man. He should have been there on the sidelines. Just, you know, they made a big deal this summer about him not being a mentor and all that. I get all that stuff, right? I understand that. But it still looks good for the team and for you if you're there. I'm with you 100%. You know, coaching up Malik or talking to Logan Woodside, just the appearance that you care. I'm not saying he doesn't care. It just looks better if you're there.
Yeah, and again, I'm not picking on Tannehill because I know that Henry wasn't there. There were other guys that weren't there either. It was the plan. It was what the coaches wanted to do, and that's fine. I just think that it would have been beneficial to some of these young guys to know that the starters are there and can be coaches. I mean, I looked over and I saw a lot of the Cowboys players that were there. I mean, the whole team was there.
Yeah,
were on the sideline. And you know, I mean, if you're a third string running back and you know that you're on the cusp of making the team or not, and Zeke Elliott is coming over to you saying, "Hey, you know, this is what I just saw on this play. Why don't you pull this way or try this?"
Yeah.
I mean, that is
totally
beneficial.
Agree. I totally agree. And that just looks good. I mean, it makes guys want to fight for you just to see you out there. It's just a little extra something that if you see Tannehill on the sidelines or any of the starters on the sidelines, you go up there and say, you know, it'd been good to see Jeffrey Simmons, you know, coaching up some of those guys. That third stringer that might not be here in 2 weeks, but it's still, man, it makes these guys like you more and want to play harder for you and fight for you. That's a great point.
Yeah. So, again, not trying to make a huge deal of it, but it's just something that I noticed over the weekend. And other teams, you know, did this too, where you look over and you see the starters playing. One thing that did come out is Treylon Burks, his debut, didn't have a catch. He did have that Malik Willis threw a long pass to him in the end zone that he didn't catch, but had a long look there. But the inconsistencies with him, and we've seen that basically, you know, going back to mini camp when obviously he couldn't finish practice. He had a nice start to training camp, looked very, very good. Now it's kind of gone back and forth a little bit. Head coach Mike Vrabel discussed Burks and being inconsistent.
Mike, even though Treylon didn't have a catch yesterday, how would you kind of assess the work?
Inconsistent. I'm really, you know, and I wish that I would have an opportunity to talk to Treylon, you know, and I don't think this is going to be anything earth-shattering, but just being able to take the progress, the some of the improvements that we saw in practice and carry them over to the game. And that I don't think happened enough, you know, and so, but he was, you know, just talking to you know, Craig Aukerman and Chase, and he was out there, active on special teams. He wanted to block on kickoff return. He wanted to be a part of that. You know, I think there were some really positive things as far as our special teams units that we can build off. There were some guys that, you know, young guys that we said that they needed to be productive and show up. You know, Chig played with great effort. Hassan played well on special teams, you know what I mean, showed up and just improved on some of these young guys that maybe that wasn't their primary job in college. Trying to take that next step. So those are all part of the evaluation process. So we'll need to see, you know, Treylon will have to come out here and have a good week and keep having a great attitude.
Mike Vrabel, head coach on Treylon Burks. All right, here's the thing. I'm glad that he looked good on special teams. Sure. I don't need the first round pick to look good on special teams.
So did I take away he didn't talk to Burks before the game or after? Is that what I took away from that?
I took that as they just haven't had the one-on-one sit down yet, which, you know, I thought about that. I mean, how – like, you and I talk high school football all the time. I mean, how many times do you look on the field and see the head coach talking to an individual player? And, you know, I don't know that dynamic and how much
– Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I don't want to overstep your coach. You know, he's got a wide receiver coach who's, you know, who's probably in his ear more than Vrabel is. But I don't know. I just took that the wrong way. Like, you think by Friday at noon he would already talking to Burks and
sure.
say, hey, come in for a second, man, because after all, you're the number one pick.
Right.
Right. You're not talking to some undrafted free agent guy out there who's probably going to be gone in 2 weeks, but your first guy. I don't know. I mean, what do you think Vrabel's going to say? I mean, he's going to say, look, you know, he goes, I've been in the league a long time, and I ran a lot of Hall of Famers, and Treylon Burks is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's always going to put those guys in their place, regardless of how good they did, how bad they did.
Actually, no, Vrabel's not going to acknowledge that he ever played in the league. Anytime you bring up his playing days, he scuffs it. You know, he's like, did I play?
He
like,
should. I'd wear every Super Bowl ring around my neck every day somehow, and I'd answer questions.
All three of them, like, what's that?
Exactly.
Teresa Walker asked a question, just, what's that, Teresa? Just bling.
All those. I thought you earned those. They got three Super Bowl rings on that. So I think it's still one of those old school things where the rookies are going to stay rookies no matter what they do. They're going to stay in their place, no matter what.
To me, too, I've never been on an NFL roster, never will be. But
I don't know, Chase.
Giddy
up and go.
We'll see. But I know that every player is different. But I also feel like there's going to be that welcome to the NFL rook moment. And that's when a guy either gets it and you start seeing progress and you see that consistency come together, or they don't. And I just don't think Burks has had that moment yet. I mean, it's just training camp. I mean, he's played one game now, and, you know, I think you saw some good and some bad. I thought Vrabel's assessment of saying it was inconsistent was probably the way to go. This is the week I go back to facing a real defense, facing another team. This is when, in practice, where you can kind of slow things down for him.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I think you're really going to see him either take some strides, or you're going to see more of what he needs to work on.
And we'll see it Wednesday and Thursday when you get to go against another NFL team. And then, you know, look, Roger McCreary is probably sick of going against Treylon Burks. But now, and likewise, Burks to McCreary. But then you got Tampa Bay coming in here, Arizona next week. So now's the time to really see what your first-round pick can do, the separation. As I said the other day, I wish the opening play in the game the other night would have been Willis drop straight back and just fling it 70 yards downfield to Burks. First play of the game. It's a preseason game, right?
You said he did that to McMath, and that was nice.
Yeah, on a rollout, that was fine. But first play of the game, just let him go. Let Burks who can first play of the game do that. I would have done that because they talk about, you know, it's a preseason, and at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter the wins or losses, although to Baltimore it does because they've won like 70 straight preseason games. But I would like to see that happen, and then, you know, there's no – it looks like Vrabel got irritated. How about there was no more when asked about, well, you know, why wasn't Burks involved more and all that? We got to get him involved more. Or really? Yeah, he only had one target during the game. So we'll see. A week from right now, Chaser, we will know much more about Treylon Burks after two practices and another preseason game against the Buccaneers.
You know what I loved that Vrabel did? I absolutely love this, that he pulled Malik Willis because he wasn't throwing the ball enough.
Yeah.
I was totally fine with that because – I think that he has a gift, and I don't like doing comps, and I know people are already, you know, they'll do some comps with him of, oh, he kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson, or oh, there's some McNair. He's Malik Willis. That's who he is. But, you know, I can remember early in McNair's playing days of Jeff Fisher and Floyd and all of them, you know, saying, hey, you have athletic gifts, use them, but don't rely on them.
Yeah.
You know, you're a quarterback. And
well, remember, McNair sat for 2 years.
He sat for 2 years, which was fantastic.
And he got zero help from Chris Chandler. We all remember that story.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Zero help.
Chris Chandler wanted nothing to do with him.
Nope.
And then I think one of the biggest benefits is when Neil O'Donnell came in here and was his backup, and he could, you know, this is a guy that had played in a Super Bowl. I know Junie's shaking his head at me. Junie Riddle is here with us today. He played in a Super Bowl, played at a high level. That really helped McNair. Well, that's what Willis is going to get sitting behind Ryan Tannehill and Logan Woodside. I mean, this team's going to keep three quarterbacks. Willis is going to, you know, maybe they'll have some design packages for him. That's fine. But he's going to be the third string.
And do those things work, these design packages?
Sometimes.
I mean, they work for
I think everybody looks at the Saints and like, oh, it worked for them.
A little bit, yeah. I can see that for Taysom Hill. Then also worked for Cordell Stewart back in the day. You know who designed those Cordell Stewart plays? Mike Mularkey.
He was
the offensive coordinator for the Steelers back then that designed those plays to come in and do those different things with Cordell, not really under center.
I loved Cordell Stewart.
So, again, if we're talking a month from right – well, how about 6 weeks from right now, if we're talking Malik Willis and Woodside, that they're playing a lot, this is going to be a bad year for the Tennessee Titans.
Not going to be good at all. Coming up next, I have a few overreactions from week one of the preseason.
Oh, you're going to play Stillman's show from Friday?
I am. You'll hear that coming up next. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin. We are live at Titans training camp today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live at Titans training camp, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game at the 9th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive this Wednesday from noon to 2. The Red Cross is in emergent need of blood. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. Join us, Brentwood Fire and Police, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of Police for the 9th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive this Wednesday, going on until 6 o'clock at the Brentwood Concord Road Library. So be sure to check that out. All right, my overreactions from week one of the preseason in the NFL. And let me tell you that when I say overreactions, okay, I mean that's exactly what this is. And, you know, usually that starts at 2 o'clock, but, you know, we'll go ahead and start some of it now. I'll start with Trey Lance in San Francisco. 4 of 5, 92 yards, and a touchdown. He looked poised. He looked like he belonged in that spot. And I think that they've made the right move, going ahead and handing the keys to the car to Trey Lance in his second year.
Obviously, John Lynch knows much more than we know. Getting the general manager out there, seeing it every day. You know, and they've talked about in practice how he looks good. And then, you just again, that's great. I played the Packers in the preseason game. Now you've got the car keys. Let's see what you do. Don't start out 0-4.
Sure.
Let's go. But, you know, he's got to get some good work in. And but here's the deal with the 49ers. He's surrounded by some really good talent out there.
He is.
Real offensive and defense. I mean, they're really good talent out there. So it's not like he's got to do everything when he shows up and do. It's kind of like, you know, I harken back to Marino in his second year in Miami in 84. Had decent playmakers around him, so he was able to find kind of a mesh with the Clayton and Duper and those guys, and he had a monster year. So it helps when you've got all that around you, and you don't have to be the Superman. So good for Trey Lance.
Well, and, you know, his receiver there, Brandon Ayuk, that was a stud at Arizona State, played for Herm Edwards, and I've kind of been waiting for him to find his groove in the NFL. I think this could be the year.
Well,
that he does that.
He's also got a number three receiver from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Juwan Jennings,
yep,
who seems to catch. It's like, you know, they don't go to him first down or second down, but if it's third and nine, they need 11 yards, they go to Juwan Jennings, and he makes the catch. And, wow, man, what just a metamorphosis with this guy, just, you know, from the bad thing at Tennessee to evolving to basically growing up and now becoming just one heck of a player. So, again, more weapons. So great for a quarterback.
Remember how the Packers didn't talk to Aaron Rodgers and they drafted a quarterback in the first round and that started a bunch of drama?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Love sucks. Three picks against the 49ers. He had 176 yards, two touchdowns, but the three interceptions, only 13 of 24. Everything you've seen out of him since he got here, whether it's preseason or, you know, a little bit here and there in the regular season, there's a reason that they paid Aaron Rodgers and admitted they were wrong and got over it.
Well, I just don't – you go back to that. I mean, they're trying to – it was one of the games like, oh, we're going to show you Aaron Rodgers. We're going to draft this quarterback who's terrible. And Rodgers didn't miss a beat, just kind of, hey, you know, do my own thing and I'll show up when I show up and I'll play another high level. And yeah, just – but you know what, Chase? I mean, these NFL teams made some awful first-round picks when it comes to quarterbacks throughout the years, and that seems to be just another one. So, thankfully, they've got Aaron Rodgers in the fold for a few more years.
Then we go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Junie Riddle lights up when I bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers because he was there. He went to the game against the Seattle Seahawks. I had them finishing last in the AFC North this year. I think I'm going to rethink that.
How dare you, Chase?
That's even with Cleveland and all their problems. I think I'm going to rethink that because, again, overreactions to the preseason week one. I emphasize overreactions. I mean, even Mason Rudolph looked pretty good. I don't know who – I think Trubisky's going to win that battle, but,
yeah, I mean,
you know, Kenny Pickett, they're going to bring along slowly, which is fine. They should do that. But, you know, I think Mason Rudolph is a solid backup. They're going to give Trubisky a shot. But, I mean, if you look at their numbers, they were very similar. Trubisky only went 4 of 7, 63 yards and a touchdown, but, I mean, he did his job.
Yeah, I watched that. I mean, I watched when Pickett came in the game. What I loved about it is they ran all these misdirection plays. So it's not like Pickett had to drop back 7 yards and wait for this rush to go at him. And they rolled him out several times, quick passes, get the ball of his hands good. I mean, they tailored that. He looked good. I mean, I don't know if Seattle had the second and third team. I get all that. But, you know, Pickett came in and drove that team down the field 5 for 5, I think he was there with Junior. Someone scored a touchdown, and it looked good. He got the two-point conversion, too, as well, on that drive. So, by the way, you say it's just odd you said something, right, that just kind of –
It's odd I said something right. Yeah,
no, you said that. Something, I'm going to say right, that you said something, but not, like, correctly. To say that it's just odd hearing, like, I got the Steelers finishing last.
I know.
That sounds weird because Tomlin's never had a losing season.
No.
Right now he's had a bunch of 8-8s, and I get that. But he's never had a losing season. So I'm not sure the last time Pittsburgh finished last in their division. I mean, I cannot recall that they finished dead last.
I'd have to look. Because
the Bengals were awful.
97?
It was Rabel's first year with the Steelers.
Oh, that's right. He was with the Steelers. So who would have been the court? Was that – who's the quarterback?
Gosh, is it Bubby Brister? I don't know.
Cordell Stewart's first year.
Okay. Cordell's first year.
Yeah, I don't
Tommy
know.
Maddox.
I mean, I look at Tommy Maddox, XFL. I look at that division. Obviously, the Browns have a ton of questions because you don't know who's going to be their starting quarterback. depending on how all this goes with Deshaun Watson and how long everything takes. I had the Ravens last year finishing last, and I was right. And everybody thought it was crazy. And it was because I didn't believe in Lamar. I'm still not a huge Lamar Jackson, like, as a quarterback fan. I think he's a tremendous athlete.
He believes in you. I mean,
I don't know. Does he?
He does.
We walked out of the stadium one time. He's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a very nice guy.
So you had the Bengals ahead of the Ravens last year?
Yeah, I think I had them third. I think I had Pittsburgh winning the division.
Okay.
And Big Ben's last year. But I just – that division is going to be one of the tougher ones to figure out. Like, the AFC West, I think, is the best division in the NFL. But the AFC North is going to be entertaining.
Well, don't sleep on the AFC South. It's always good with the ever-underachieving Texans and Jaguars. And it's just always a two-team race between the Colts and the Titans. No, the AFC West. And those teams – don't the Titans play those teams this year?
Yes.
Yeah, they play the AFC West. They got third game of the year. Got Vegas coming in here. It's a home game. And then, of course, later on they got to play San Diego, Denver.
Well, San Diego doesn't have a team anymore.
All right, Los Angeles. Yeah, I hate you. Got me. Got him. God, why did I do that? I just sit there and watch the Chargers and Rams game on this weekend, too, as well. So, no, you're right. And then Justin Herbert's a great quarterback, Mahomes and everything. But I think the Titans have had Mahomes' number, except for the AFC Championship game. They've played him really well. Last year they shut him down. And, of course, they did that same back in 2019 when they came in here and played.
The third overreaction, and this is where Stillman and company comes into play, because I already know he's going to talk about this today.
Okay.
I'd be a little concerned if I was a fan of the Colts, because they did play most of their starters, including Matt Ryan, and they didn't look very good against the backups of the Bills. Again, overreacting.
Yeah.
Overreacting. Six of 10 for Matt Ryan, 58 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, Jonathan Taylor didn't play. They had Hines. He played a little bit. Lindsey was in there a little bit. Used three quarterbacks and Sam Ellinger and Nick Foles. And I liked the signing of Nick Foles as the backup. But, you know, Bills put the backups out there and held the Colts in check.
Yeah, that's I think I'm breaking the chair here at Titans. And I just did. That's great. I think, gosh. I'm sorry.
You're going to pull a Rex Road and fall in a second.
Put that on the bill to Miss Amy Adams Strunk. I just broke your chair. God, why do I do that? I mean, don't answer that. I know why I do that. Please don't. Thank you there, sir. Appreciate you. What were we talking about a second ago?
The Colts.
The Colts. Yeah, man, that's some serious overreaction. I wouldn't. I get it, but I wouldn't. I mean, it's just – You know, again, we've talked the other day about preseason. You know, 2008, the Lions went 4-0. They looked really good in preseason. They proceeded to have an 0-16 season. And funny, you bring Matt Ryan in there. They played the Falcons that year, the first game. Matt Ryan's first pass as a Falcon was a 60-yard touchdown pass against the Lions. First game.
I remember that.
First play, first game.
Wasn't Mike Smith the head coach?
He was. He sure as heck was. So. Yeah, that's some good overreaction, but I'd wait and see on that. Now, if he'd gone out there and, you know, 1 for 13, 4 interceptions, you'd be like, okay, but I don't look too much into it.
Speaking of the Falcons, now their presumed starter, Marcus Mariota, played 2 for 2, 36 yards, also had 3 carries for 23 yards and a touchdown. Marcus Mariota, MVP of the league. There you go. There's an overreaction for you.
That's a huge overreaction. 2 for 2, though, that's not bad. He must have thrown to the running back because, you know, he wouldn't throw the ball down
the tight
end. Yeah. Wouldn't throw the ball down.
Found his first read, let it go.
Good for him. You know, he's back with Arthur Smith down there. I'm a big Arthur Smith fan because he was the only coach on this staff in 2019 that knew my name. So when I went and talked to him, he always, hey, Joe, how's it going? So I've got a soft spot for Arthur Smith just because of that. I'd love to see Arthur Smith be successful, but only if the Falcons bring back the throwback uniforms, the red helmets and the red jerseys.
I think they're doing that.
For a few games they are, yeah.
Yeah,
I love like those old helmets. Love
I do,
those
too.
Old
I love helmets. That the NFL has finally said, you know what, we should let teams have more than one helmet color because it allows the throwbacks. I mean,
yeah.
The Titans presumably are going to have the Oilers
When's
throwbacks.
When's that going to drop?
I think next year.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they were too late.
And I look, I get that with their helmets because it's a different city and at a different time. And a lot of people want to take the Titans since they've been here since really 99 because because 97, 98, they were still the Oilers. So they became Nashville's team in 99. So when you throw back, I get it. If they don't inside the building, then they're not fans of that because you get to put the Derek on the side of the helm. Not Derek Mason, but the old Derek.
Yeah.
Although they probably should have been Derek
Mason.
But
the players want to. Like, the players want to do
it. That's great. They did in the Hall of Fame game in 09.
Yeah.
It's really, really good, and I love that. But I'd love to see. I mean, I like those old Oilers jerseys. I thought they were fantastic.
Well, and I want them to do the ones that are the powder blue, the white pants with the red, white, and blue stripes.
Okay.
And then the white helmet with, I think it's a red, white, and blue stripe,
yep.
And then the oil Derek
yeah,
on the side.
Absolutely.
Like that 80s, 90s, love your blue look.
The run and shoot, man. I love. Could name every receiver on that team and all the stuff that goes back through there. And they had great running backs on that team. But anyway.
Warren Moon.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd like to see one season of teams go back to their throwbacks.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about the Patriots uniforms. That's the best.
Well, they're bringing that back.
Helmet combination of all time. And, I mean, the Buccaneers, the creamsicle. I mean, that thing is just fantastic.
The Bengals are doing
white helmets.
The white helmets, which I think are look really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think I saw they were looking at a throwback with the Bengals written on the side of the helmet, which I know you like.
I saw that. Then I thought that was like a parody account. I got all upset because I really like that. But I'd like to see for 1 year, just 1 year, have teams go back. Because, you know, people would just eat that stuff up.
And yeah.
Jersey sales would go out the roof if they did that for be buying all kind of things. That would be so much fun.
Cowboys are going to wear the white helmet with the blue star,
yeah.
Which I love that.
That's a great look,
such
man.
A good look. That's not what we were talking. We just kind of went down this rabbit hole of helmets, but that's what we do. Coming up next, we actually have a big announcement to make. Something that I am very, very excited about and involves Big Joe as well. We'll do that coming up next. We're live at Titans training camp today. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, Chase and Big Joe Dubin. Here at Titans training camp today, Junie Riddle on site with us as well, taking in Titans practice. They're on the far field, so we can't really see anything.
We can just make stuff up.
Do you think that yesterday was Mike Vrabel's birthday, and Ben Jones got him with the baby powder, nice little prank there.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Do you think that he was scared that you were going to try and give him a hug today and he wanted to be down on the far field?
A lot of things. I've got a lot of good pranks. He turned 50, so he's probably wise of him to stay on the opposite field down there because he knows what happens. But, yeah, they're way over there.
Yeah, they are. All right, I'm excited about this because we do have a bit of an announcement.
Yeah.
Something that is going to debut Friday night at 6 o'clock, and it involves Big Joe Dubin. What could that be? Something that we used to do back in the day, and people have been asking. Honestly, it's one of the most asked questions I've gotten outside of when I'm going to fire Stillman since I became program director, and I'm not going to fire Stillman. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, here it is. We're going to read the Game Blitz is coming back. It's going to be 6 hours of high school football coverage every Friday night. Chaser, we did this in 2012 through 2014. I left to go to TV. You took over for a few years and did it. It's a lot. I mean, it's an all-encompassing show, and there's a lot that goes into it, and you have to be fully committed to because you want to do it correctly
yes.
and professionally, and there's a lot that goes into it. I know your duties change at 102.5. So I'm back. I'm hosting it, and as I told you, in my 25 years broadcasting career, I've been fortunate and blessed, thank you, Lord, to be part of some really cool things that have gone on. But, Chaser, nothing's been more gratifying and satisfying than doing the Game Blitz for those several years. I'm excited that it's back because, look, NFL can have every day of the week. College, you have every day of the week, but just leave Friday nights to high school. Just leave it to high school. And then so Friday night with the Game Blitz, it's like the NFL Red Zone for high school football coverage in Middle Tennessee. It's brought to you by Apple Collision Center. We're ready to go Friday night, and so we got all the games. We'll have coaches coming on. We'll talk to reporters across Middle Tennessee. It's just a lot of fun, and it's fun. It's moving. It's fast-paced. And for 6 hours on Friday, let's let it be about the coaches and kids in high school. And so if you're leaving a game, turn on the radio, hear us. We'll give you scores as quickly as we can and bring in reporters from around the area. So, yeah, people ask, what's it like? I'm like, it's like the Red Zone NFL.
Oh, yeah.
It's just quick, fast, fun. And it's always good to get the reaction of coaches after the game. And we've had some good moments, and we'll continue those good moments this year. So I'm excited. Thank you, and Bud and Dennis, everybody at 102.5, for letting us bring this back because it truly is – I think fantastic sports radio.
Yes, it is, and it's where I got my start. And like I said, I took over for you, which were very big shoes to fill, by the
way.
But we had me too. So we had a lot of fun doing that, and then I kept getting promoted and just didn't have the resources
anymore.
It takes anymore.
The time, yeah. I mean, and you got, you know, you got to have a good staff around you because it's, again, it's moving, it's fast, and when you get into a car and you're leaving a game and you don't get the scores and you can't make a certain game at night, and then you tune into us, we'll keep you up to date on everything that goes on. So I'm really fortunate that we're bringing it back.
Yeah, so the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz will re-debut this Friday at 6 o'clock. It's funny talking to people around our building that weren't around when we did the Game Blitz the first time. Like, oh, what a great concept. This is cool to have this for the first year. And I'm like, we've done this before.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how many years did you do it after I left?
Three.
Three, okay. So we had a good 6 years of doing it. And look, you know, you guys are hyper-local, which I love, and got to take care of your things in your backyard. I mean, you want to hear – you know, Oakland and Lipscomb Academy and, you know, and Franklin. I mean, all the schools around, even going down out west to listen to get a Henry County score or Waverly. I mean, it's all around Middle Tennessee high school football. And whether you played high school football or not, you've got some memory of Friday night in your mind. I don't care what it is, hanging out with your friends, going on a date, homecoming, playing in the game, getting your heart broke in a football game like that. So we all have these memories for high school football. And I don't care if you grew up in Nashville, Pittsburgh, San Jose, you still have some sort of connection to high school football. And so we'll do our best every Friday night to bring you the latest and greatest and have fun with it.
So Elijah Campbell, who many remember from producing this show, is going to come back on Friday nights and be the co-host with you.
Love
He's very well connected in high school football around the mid-state. You know, speaking of that, I sent you a picture over the weekend that what was really cool. The Broncos have a wall inside of Mile High Stadium or Empower Field at Mile High Stadium of all the high school football helmets from all the teams Denver area as they honor high school football. And then they have the jerseys of the state champions. They even had, like, the 8-on-8 league state champions,
nice.
Which was cool.
Yeah, that's very – I'd love to see something like that. I mean, that's – a lot of football being played in Tennessee, a lot of great high schools, and there's a nice history. You know, we saw, you know, Chase, we got to talk about Juwan Jennings and Derek Barnett and Jalen Hurd and all these guys that went on to the next
level. A lot of those
level.
Guys came on the show.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So the talent in high school football in Middle Tennessee is simply fantastic. And you look at these staffs, I mean, there's ex-NFL players on these staffs that are helping out coach everything. So it is a wonderful thing. And then, again, it's fun, it's fast-paced, and it'll start at 6 and at midnight, and it'll go by in a blink of an eye.
I think my favorite moment of all time on the Game Blitz, it was either year one or year two. You guys were talking about certain high school running up the score and letting the third stringers score, and then the coach called in.
Well, I was
to defend his position.
It
Ricky
was
Bowers.
NBA, it was Brimwood Academy versus Innsworth.
Yep.
And then the last play of the game, Innsworth was up big time, and they threw a pass to the third team wide receiver to score, and we were like, all right, come on, that's just too much. And everybody else weighed in, and then Ricky Bowers called the show and said, what did he say? That's a life-changing moment for the kid that caught the pass, and nobody believed that. And then the next day, that kind of went viral and took off, and it was one of those – I'd never been part of a viral moment like that before, but a lot of people weighing in about – high school, at what point is it okay to run the score up? And I'm always like, when you get to college, it's okay. High school, you know. And so the last play of the game, he threw that touchdown pass. And, boy, there were some hot people around for that was going on. So that was a good moment. And then he called in. And so we welcome all the coaches to call in. And remember, we called one coach. They just lost a game. Because he said, call me whatever. I'll come on the show anytime. And we called him. And he'll remain nameless. We called him. He was hot mad that night, too. And
I think I remember that.
Hot mad. Hey, Brian Rector, if you're listening. Father Ryan.
Yep.
Love you, man. You're a great coach and a better person. And he came in. But it was great because he talked about, hey, we didn't get the job that night. Credit to the other team. It was just a lot of fun, man. And everywhere I go, like you're talking about, like, bring that show back. Bring that show back. So we're going to bring it back Friday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz will re-debut this Friday at 6 o'clock. Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell will anchor that coverage and have our Game Blitz reporters. I mean, that's the other thing. I started on that show as a producer, then moved into the host chair. Jared Stillman was an intern.
Yep.
Would go and report on games.
Did a great job.
Austin Stanley, Zach Bingham of A to Z Sports, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the proving ground for a lot of us. So looking forward to having that back in the fold starting this Friday at 6 o'clock. Coming up next, Titans practice is winding down. We hope to have Titans corner Roger McCreary join us when practice is done. I told Joe that I wasn't going to do this, but I am going to do this.
Don't cry.
Will Mike Vrabel's – I forgot my tease for a second. Will Mike Vrabel's comments on Malik Willis actually help him? We'll discuss that. Ooh. Coming up next, it's Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.